Before we open God's word, let us pray. Eternal, true, and faithful Father in heaven, may all unto thee be hallowed. This day and our very being, our thoughts, as we sit in the quietness of this sanctuary to hear thy word, we pray that thou would bless thy word to our hearts, that we might receive with attentive ears and eyes to what thou would have for us. Provide thy blessing according to thy will. We need thee and we worship thee. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. With the help of the Lord, I desire that we would read together from the book of Jonah, chapter number 2.
Bratje naše, da se čita uz Božju pomoć iz proroka Jone, iz Staroga Zaveta, knjiga proroka Jone, druga glava.
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. When the skeptics of Jesus' day asked for a sign from Jesus, he brought the example of Jonah and the 3 days and three nights that he spent in the belly of the fish as the only sign that would be given unto them. He connected that with his own life and experience that he would go through for our redemption, in that he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. And there are connections between Jonah's experience, although he is very fallible and comes far short of Jesus' perfect example, we can learn from him And Jesus saw fit to use this time that Jonah spent in the belly of the fish as a sign for the people of his day. And he mentions that twice in the book of Matthew. And in the book of Luke, he expands upon it and says that as Jonah was a sign to the people of Nineveh, so the Son of Man will be a sign to this generation. Jonah was a sign of warning and of judgment and of God's wrath to the people of Nineveh. He was a sign of call of repentance to the people of Nineveh. And that was what the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and his message was to his generation and to ours. He began preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent because God is opening up a way for mankind to be part of his kingdom, to be a part of the people that are aligned with his character and his values. There is an opportunity for salvation, but also that kingdom of God that is coming comes with a decision and an opportunity that, if neglected, will come to judgment and the wrath of God. And that is the message that Jesus Christ has brought, a message of an opportunity for man to find salvation through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, and if neglected, will result in certain doom and destruction. And that is the call that Jesus had given to the synagogues of his day. That's the call that the apostles gave to the Jews and to the Gentiles as they spread the word of the gospel, that men would repent and learn what that means. And that is the message of the gospel that goes out even today, a message of repentance. And I know that there are some who are repenting and are wanting to learn more about what that means, that they would have that a deep relationship with the Lord, that they would know how much they've been forgiven so that they can also in turn love much and not have a shallow experience. And it is in examples of the scripture that we find instruction. You won't find a to-do list for repentance. You will find examples of men who were fallible, whose heart was touched with their need, who recognized how far they were from God and sought to express it to the Lord and seek out his help. You won't find the to-do list. You will find that when man is touched with his need and touched by the love of God and the opportunity that comes to him, that he does not hesitate, but he responds. And there are some of you who have not repented and don't seek that. Or maybe you do, but you hesitate. You don't know how to begin. There's no get to repentance quick guide either. It's a path of humility and of breaking down who we are so that God can restore us. I'm sorry, but there's no easy way. There's only one way in truth, in Jesus Christ. So hear the word that calls you to repentance. The lesson that we have of repentance is not from a beginner, but from a prophet. And so that there is a word for each of us, brother and sister alike, a call to a deep devotion to God, a greater understanding of our need, and a crying out to him as our only hope. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah concludes. Salvation is of the Lord. We need look nowhere else but to the Lord. and to his word. And here Jonah cries. He cries by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Jonah is a man who knows of God, and he knows the scripture. These first few words of Jonah that he speaks are almost direct quotes from the Psalms. And that's instructive for us. When we face hard times, when we face the struggle of life and the burden of conviction, what often comes to our minds but the songs that we know? The Psalms come to Jonah's mind as an expression of his heart and of his need and of his condition. And it's instructive for us too. It wasn't apparent to Jonah all the promises of the Psalms when he was rejecting God's command, but when he was in the depths, that's when it came out. There's an aspect of preparation for that time of conviction that's taking place, sometimes without us knowing it. And hymns and music can do that to us. They can speak to our thoughts and our emotions, to our will, and our ability to express our convictions and how sensitive we are to the things that God tells us. And so let's be careful. Who is setting the playlist that is driving our emotions and our sensitivity to God's voice? We remember many testimonies of those who heard a song that had touched them, that spoke to them. It meant something to them, and it had an impact. And hymns do that. There's a Greek philosopher who said, I can tell you about the future of your nation. I don't need to know who writes the laws, but I want to know who writes your songs. Who writes the songs that impact your values? Who writes the songs that you listen to that wear a path within your mind about what is important and what is valuable and what is meaningful to you, that you can listen without even thinking, but have it form you? Be careful who is curating your playlist of your life, because there's going to be a time when you're going to need those words. You're going to need the words of the scripture. You're going to feast upon the words of the hymns that have nourished you and have prepared you for that moment of trial. So choose wisely your playlist. Jonah speaks not only from what he knows of the scripture and the Psalms, but he speaks from his experience. He speaks what he knows. He is in the center of affliction. He is crying, as it were, from hell. This is where he is, and this is important to recognize. Life might not be exactly what you had envisioned. It might not be as good as you think God deserves, and you're probably right. But that's what you have, and that's what you need to bring. Bring what you have, not what you don't have. Believe in what you know from the scripture. If you don't take those things to heart, God will not reveal some majestic or mystical truth that will somehow change everything. Jesus told Nicodemus, we speak the things that we know and testify the things that we've seen, and you receive not our witness. If we've spoken to you of earthly things, how will you receive if we speak to you of heavenly things? Take the things that you know. Take the brokenness that you know and lay it out before the Lord. Take the reality that you don't know what to do about it and that you're powerless to overcome and confess that to the Lord. Make it known. Don't try to be somewhere else. Let him know exactly where you are. Paul encouraged Timothy to do the same. Paul reminded Timothy of the faith in his grandmother and his mother, and that he had learned from the scriptures the things that would make him wise unto salvation. You've heard the word. Take what you know and allow it to convict and apply to your life. Begin there. If God will entrust that to you and you take that seriously, then he will entrust unto you more and help you grow. But if you don't take to heart the things that you know and the things that are wrong and the things that need to change, don't expect to receive much more. In the midst of the exhortation, there's also a comfort. Jonah knows that God is merciful. And Jonah is saying these words while he's in the fish. He says, he heard me. He said, thou hearest my voice. How do you know that God has heard you? It seems to be that there must be a faith in who God is and that he's willing to hear. God heard when Hagar was in the wilderness and he saw. He provided for her. He heard the cry of the Israelites when they were slaves in Egypt, and he sent them a deliverer. One of the things that makes us hesitate so much is the question, if I cry, does it make any difference? Who hears? Who knows? You know, a baby child needs to learn that. And he learns that when he's hungry, he cries and mom comes. When he's wet, he cries and mom comes. And that baby learns that they have a voice. And when they cry, it matters to someone. And someone will provide. And that's the place of safety. The Word of God is telling each and every one of us that we're cared for as God's creation, as ones that God loves and he hears. When we cry, it does make a difference. But do you believe? Do you believe before the fish spits you out and you find deliverance? That's the challenge. Believe in God's love and his care. And that he, as a mother that loves her baby, wants you to know that that is the safest place for you. In his arms of care and deliverance, that he hears you, that he knows, and just to know that he has heard, let that bring some measure of comfort. Because he may ask you to continue to suffer, but at least you know he is there. And may his grace be sufficient for us. Knowing that he hears and waiting for his deliverance. Jonah then says, I am cast out of thy sight. God sees everything. He knows everything. He knew where Jonah was. He even prepared the fish to swallow him up and brought him to the place where he needed to be. God knew where Jonah was. He saw him. But what Jonah is realizing is that he had done wrong. And he's out of God's sight, out of God's fellowship, and he's turned away. He's turned away in hopes that he would repent and be restored. And that's the way that he is out of his sight. That's the realization that he comes to. How far he is from God. That's the realization that the prodigal son came to when he was in the pigsty. How far he was from the home of his father where his servants were well cared for. And his mind turned toward home. Jonah's heart and mind turned toward the temple. And again, we see he knows the scripture. When Solomon was dedicating the temple and praying, he told God that when the people are scattered and they're sent away from his presence, and they would return and turn to this house, that God would provide forgiveness. That God would heal them. And so he's turning to the temple. He's turning again to the holy temple. Well, has the conviction come of how far you are from God? Do we realize and recognize how far from home we are? How far from God's standard we are in reality? When that conviction comes to us, we need to seek forgiveness. We need to turn our hearts and our attention to the temple of God. Jesus spoke of this. He said, destroy this temple and I will raise it up in 3 days. In Moses' time, there was a serpent that was raised up that if people would look onto it, they would receive healing. And Jesus spoke about that being foreshadowing of him. The Son of Man must be lifted up. It's to him that we must look for forgiveness, for health, for healing. And this, beloved, is an act of the will. To choose to look, to choose to attend to the things of God, to the things that are holy and are right, a place where God is served in purity. And we find that in no better place than in Jesus Christ. But we must, with our will, make that decision that that is our focus. That is our aim, even as the hymn says, my heart doth ask, what is thy goal? The Lord Jesus, answer me, and I will follow him with all my soul, and I will follow thee. This is an act of the will that I choose, with God's help, to turn and attend to the things of holiness. Sometimes our attention, early on in our repentance, is to be rid of sin and to get better in this one place and to be more pure in this area of life. And easily and quickly we find how our efforts and our strength fails us. But the Word is calling us to a focus and a dedication and one true goal in Jesus Christ and in his Word and in observing his commandments. That must be central for a believer. And from that flows the fruit of freedom. From that flows the help and the health in a believer's life. Don't be confused about where your focus needs to be. Jonah then says, the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. There are so many things that will distract us from recognizing how deep our need is. How deep and how ugly, how dark the path that sin has brought us down. How ugly sin must be to us and to the heart of a believer that seeks to be close to his Lord. If that is not clear, God can reveal it. God can make it known. And even for believers, Apostle Paul, who strove to express his faith in an outward way as well, and have that close relationship with the Lord, he acknowledged that he was not perfect and encouraged the Philippian believers that if in any way you're not minded with this focus upon Christ, with this willingness to put away everything of the world to gain Christ, if in anything you are not minded this way, God will reveal it unto you. Make it your prayer that you would understand. And you may not understand everything fully, but that you would understand enough that your heart would be humbled before God so that you can be a place where his grace can be poured out. Because that's what you need. That's what I need. Jonah is understanding the depths and he's expressing it. And then he says, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And again, he's saying this before he's spit out. He's saying it in faith. He's believing before it comes to pass. He's trusting and he's praying. He's knocking on the door in hope that God is going to perform that which he promised. And there's a beautiful connection here too to Jesus Christ. He spoke about his time in the belly of the earth, connecting to Jonah and his 3 days and nights in the fish. We need to know how deep our sin has taken us, but also we need to appreciate the depths of the pain, the depths of the suffering, the depths of the hell that Jesus went through for us, so that we can bind ourselves to him. He went through these things and suffered, yes, on our behalf. And we say that this is the only means of salvation. This means of going down and suffering and going into the depths of the earth, of bearing our transgressions, of giving up his life. And he shows us the pattern of deliverance. Do not think that you will find deliverance any other way. Don't think that you can maintain your friends, the esteem and high thoughts of others. Don't think that you can keep your life and preserve it, because you will lose it. But Jesus says, he that loses his life for my sake the same will find it. So Jesus, he went through this suffering. He went to these depths so that we could follow him. So that we would not be afraid when he says you need to die to yourself. Because he shows us there's victory. Thou hast brought up my life from corruption. Again, a reference to the Psalms and the New Testament. The apostles use this reference to speak of Jesus Christ. Thou hast not suffered thine Holy One to see corruption. And Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. And it is that resurrection power that Apostle Paul says to the church in Ephesus that he prays for them to understand, that he prays for them that they would take part in it. And we will only take part in it if we also take part in the fellowship of his sufferings and die to self. He is the only way of salvation, and we follow him as we seek for deliverance. There is no to-do list regarding repentance, but this verse 8 is instructive for us. Is instructive to all who would wonder, well, what should I repent from? They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Lying vanities is falsehood. It's something that's useless. It is all the idols of this world. Lying vanities is hypocrisy. And the Pharisees were an excellent example of that. And did they not forsake their own mercy as they sought to uphold a facade and an image of who they were? And they forsook their own mercy and the opportunity that was given to them to repent. And they held and they observed. They kept their eyes on the things that they prized, the acclaim of men and the glory of wealth. And that is a warning to us about the deceitfulness of riches, about the deceitfulness of having a good reputation about other people outside of Jesus Christ living through us and being that example. One that seeks praise to myself rather than to honor and glorify my Father which is in heaven. Is any of that in me? If it is, I'm bypassing an opportunity for mercy. Do I take comfort, perhaps in the name of the church that I go to, or the reputation of the church for some high standard of living, but my own life is not conformed to Jesus Christ? Or I feel satisfied with the plateau of spirituality and seriousness that I take with applying the Word of God. I may be missing the opportunity for mercy. And that can be part of us today. Lying vanities are a cover-up. And there's many cover-ups. There's many falsehoods and deceits in this world. There's many images that we can have opportunity to put up of ourselves and what we are and who we want to be. But when we utilize those, they go in many examples. When we utilize those, we forsake our own mercy. We put up a facade that no one could measure up to. And what are our kids going to say? Are they going to be discouraged? Well, mom and dad seem to think that they can have their cake and eat it too. They can have the pleasures of this world, but they can say they belong to Christ. Which one is it? I'm going to try to do both, and I can't stand on two pedestals. I can't sit in two chairs. And I'm stressed out because I can't find a solution. Because a hypocritical example has been given. We can't have it both ways. What is the girl that sees sisters partaking in cosmetics and covering up the lying vanities going to say, "Do I not measure up?" What mercy will you extend to them when you demonstrate that God has made you beautiful? And you don't need those things. And that you are valuable. And you are cherished. You forsake the opportunity for mercy to them. Don't put a standard that nobody can follow and nobody can keep. Be genuine. Be honest. Don't be lying in falsehood. The New Testament does teach for women to follow the examples of the old. But it doesn't say to follow Jezebel, who painted her face and arranged her hair before she was killed and went to her destruction. But an example of good works and showing from the heart, the inner man, the beauty that God values. Don't send a mixed message. Be true. Don't forsake mercy for yourself or for someone else. And how many times, brothers, we think that our occupation, our job, gives us some status, or our ability to navigate this world and its complexities. Let's not kid ourselves. It's because of God's mercy that we have what we have. And we could lose it all. We need to be ready for that time when God's kingdom will return in power and in judgment, which will be preceded by a time that is worse than any time before, that we build our faith upon the Word of God and be ready for that and not trust in lying vanities. It's what the man that built his house upon the sand tried to do. And Jesus says, that man tried to hear the word of Jesus Christ and ignore it. Jesus commanded his disciples to teach the world to observe all that he had commanded. And that message comes to me. That message comes to you. Do we take it seriously? Do we take it to heart? When we do, these understandings and the place of our heart will be able to be expressed. Just like it was for Jonah, albeit in a very imperfect example. But there's also going to come this time when a decision is made. When a decision is made to make a commitment of dedication and service unto the Lord, and that's what Jonah says here, "I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving." A sacrifice, a life of sacrifice, is what we are called to. We are called to be living sacrifices in Romans 12. We're called to give the sacrifice of our lips and the thanksgiving to God in Hebrews. We are called by God's grace to be a part of his plan and to take part in the work that he's doing, to extend the message of mercy, not to Nineveh of our day, but to our communities, to our homes. And God is seeking for hearts of faith. God is seeking for branches that are connected to the vine, vitally connected and living and breathing in him to be a part of his work. He's calling you to something great, something greater than you or I. And Jonah is making that commitment. "I will pay that, I have vowed." And he remembers, salvation is of the Lord. And that's something that we often need to remember. Regardless of our dedication, regardless of our past service or our future commitments and our applying of ourselves, it's not meriting us salvation. Salvation is only coming from the Lord. It's only through Jesus Christ and how much we need him. And as we as believers grow in our walk with the Lord, we may see and learn, yes, there's far more in our life that was far from God than when we started. And there is far more glory and love to be adored and magnified in Jesus Christ, our Savior, than when we first loved him. But the cross bridges that gap. And our appreciation for the cross needs to grow as our need for the cross and God's glory seem farther and farther apart, how much more important the cross and salvation of the Lord means to us. May Jesus Christ and his precious cross be the thing that we desire to speak of, be the focus of our thoughts and life. And may we, in heeding the word, find the deliverance in whatever form it takes. For Jonah, he finds deliverance from the belly of the fish, but it was in the vomit of the fish. It may not be what you want that is the trappings of your deliverance. It may not be what you expected, but deliverance is good, and it's from the Lord. And however it would seem pleasing to him to make us, to mold us, to shape us, as he delivers us from this evil world, let our hearts say, "Thy will be done."